productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon, welcome to The Business Bunker Show. Whew, it's a bit different this week to last week, isn't it?
Well, yes.
I've got a full studio, the sun's shining out on Romney Marsh.
I'm sober.
There's no soap. Yeah, that's really a turn up for the books as well, isn't it? Blimey. 1 o'clock in the afternoon and Jules is sober. Wow.
You know why?
What happened? No, go on, what happened?
Because on the lovely Scoff and Quaff show that was on at 11...
It was dry.
Rough old wife didn't
Nobody
come
Nobody turned
with
up
cider.
With the cider. Ah, what a blow.
He forgot, he was in Canterbury.
What a blow.
Simon Reed.
What a blow.
I know.
Blimey. Are you going to get through this all right?
I'll probably manage, a bit shaky.
Yeah.
You know what I did today?
No, go on.
Paul Andrews. Well, my young son, Shay, has just bought himself a car with his lifeguarding money, and he's a sixth former at Langton's, as you know.
Yep.
And so I'm being a very good mummy and sitting in the passenger seat while he goes with his L plates, which is very nerve-wracking. And so I've taught him how to go around the roundabout and all that sort of stuff. But then my car is automatic. So I've just realised, so once I drop him at school, I come to the Business Bunker show. I realise I've driven all the way here in his manual car in sort of first gear. I haven't changed gear once, like 80 miles an hour. I've just realised. Sorry, Shay.
Sorry, Shay. You need a new engine, mate. Say goodbye to your valves.
Yeah, I've not about changing gear. And you know what? You know what's going to happen when I get back in my auto car?
Go on.
I'm going to be slamming the left foot down, aren't I? And skidding everywhere, trying to change gear.
I don't know.
That's not going to work, is it? It's all too much.
I don't know. Anyway, you're listening to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and a absolutely lovely, poorly driving, dry, sober Jill Serkin. We've got some great guests for you coming up on the show later on, but we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. This show is for you, so do please tweet us by following me at Vanilla Web and send me a tweet. We've had half a dozen tweets already. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or you can give us a call on 01303 874 998. We'd love to hear from you. Everything you hear on the show today, as normal, we will put links to on the Business Bunker website, so if you want to follow it up at any time, you can do. And I think we'll start with some news then, Jules.
Yes, we will. This is one about persuasive communication and successful selling skills. This is a workshop which is coming up on Tuesday, the 26th of March. It's at 9:30 to 12:30. And it's there is a website which I'm going to read out in a minute, so get your pen handy. It's a workshop to improve your communication and selling skills. Be persuasive and not pushy, they say. Communicate better to get the results that you want. Understand the barriers and how to overcome them. And make the 8 principles of selling work for you. Deal with objections in 3 easy stages. Close the sale and get into the business in 4 steps. The cost is £40, which includes VAT, payable on booking or on arrival. And the website is www.tames, as in the river, innovationcentre.com/events. There is a phone number, which is 020-8320-1000, or you can email info@tamesinnovationcentre.com. Sounds good. That's Tuesday, the 26th of March at 9:30.
Brilliant. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We've got some tweets coming in. I'm going to read a couple of those. We've had Cellcare Limited. They're the telecoms people over at the City Estate in Medway. And they say, wishing you good luck for your show today, and we're listening in. Thank you very much, guys. Lisa, who is one of the bosses over there, Lisa and I tomorrow are actually judging The area final of the Young Enterprise Awards at Bethany School tomorrow evening. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I judged one of the earlier rounds a few months ago in Ashford, and it was really good fun. There's some cracking businesses set up by the young people. Tomorrow is the area finalists, so we're really looking forward
to that.
Where is
that?
Bethany School, which is over near Cranbrook.
Right, well done, Lisa.
Yeah, so Lisa and I are the judges, and there's one other judge, but I'm not sure who that is, but it's organised by Belinda Raitt, who has been on the show recently.
Yeah.
Trudy, whose name suddenly escapes me, her surname, who...
Who hasn't been on the show so recently.
Who was on the show before Christmas.
Oh, well, you can't remember before Christmas.
And, no, absolutely.
Even you.
And Peter Fleming, yeah, so...
It's unusual, because normally you've got a memory like an elephant,
haven't you? I know.
I can't say you look like
Longrush.
An elephant anymore, because
Trudy
you've lost
Longrush.
Weight.
Trudy Longrush, yeah.
Longridge.
Yeah.
Hello, Trudy.
Who
listening.
Binged?
That's
somebody,
not me.
Somebody binged.
That's not me. We have a social media guru in the office, so
could
be anyone. I knew it was you.
We heard it.
Over yonder.
Oops, sorry. So that's a tweet from Telcare and Lisa. Thank you for that. And I've had another tweet from Julian Kirkness, who says, "Hi, Paul. Could you check out my son's new online magazine? I think you'll like it. And give us a mention on the Business Bunker Show." The website is Blirt Magazine. And that is spelt B-L-I-R-T. And it's BLIRT-magazine.com. And it's an online digital magazine. And I had a quick look at it. And it looks really cool, and they're looking for contributors too. So that's a Kent-based online magazine. Take a look. Blirt-magazine.com. B-L-I-R-T.
Yeah.
So
can.
Thanks for that, Julian.
Blirt, and we will off indeed your chest.
Look at that. Yeah. As always, we'll put a link to that on the Business Bunker website. So if you want to follow up later, you can indeed find that link and chase it down. So keep the tweets coming. We've still got quite a few coming in. I'm going to do a bit of a little complicated news thing here that I was sent by Sarah Bond. Sarah's a freelance journalist, and she sent me this. It's a little bit political, but hey, who cares? Tunbridge Wells parking petition wins more than 1,000 signatures and will be debated by Tunbridge Wells Borough Council on the 24th of April 2013. It's a petition for fair pay on access or pay on foot payment systems in Tunbridge Wells Council car parks, and it's now got more than 1,000 signatures, which is the threshold for triggering a full council debate. And it's about pay on exit parking in Tunbridge Wells, with the first 30 minutes free and free parking on Sundays and bank holidays. And today Sarah has confirmation that Tunbridge Wells Borough Council, that the petition will be on the agenda for the full council meeting on the 24th of April 2013. And she is the nominated representative and will have 5 minutes to speak on the subject. 740 people signed online, and a further 432 have signed it manually in various parts of Tunbridge Wells, and they're still actually collecting signatures. And you can actually sign it offline at La Roche Patisserie, S1 Hair and Beauty, Sankey's. It's the fish shop and fish restaurant on Mount Ephraim. They do absolutely wicked fish finger sandwiches.
Oh, fish finger butties.
Yeah. So get in there, sign the petition, fish finger butty. Sorted. And you can also sign it on at the Kent and Sussex newspaper courier, Kent and Sussex courier newspaper offices. You need to sign it. Parking charges are ridiculous. I'm not going to get into too big a background about
this. Well, this is where we start talking about the high street.
It's the problems with the high street. And, you know, I ran an e-commerce workshop 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about e-commerce and stuff like that, but all of us got round to talking about the plight that the high street has. And everybody knows what the answer is, apart from the government. Yeah, the government employ consultants to tell them, but they don't like the answer. The answer is stop abusing cars, let people park where they can get to the shops, and get out of the way. It really isn't rocket science, but no, they
this rant was live by Paul Andrews.
Yeah, thank you for that.
But
anyway,
also another thing is that when you do put your money in and you start shopping and you get involved, and then
that's part of what Sarah's trying to achieve here. She's saying that people have to abandon their shopping to go back and either top up their car parking or to go and find another car parking
space.
But
there's that Ringo thing that I did, and because I've been using my son's car and my car was in the garage, I've been using three cars. Yeah. I think I told you about this. I don't know. I was ranting.
Well, that's what Sarah's asking for. Sarah's asking for pay on exit.
Yeah.
So basically, you get a ticket and then you pay however much, however long you've parked there when you leave.
But also Ringo, you pay by your mobile phone, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, but it can't cope if you keep changing your car.
Don't change your car, though.
I know, but sometimes
I have to. Stop stealing cars.
Sometimes I have to. Not steal a car.
Anyway, if you want to find out more about that Tunbridge Wells parking partition, you can look at Sarah's website, which is www.sarahbond.co.uk. Or there's a whole bunch of them that you can follow on Twitter, which is She Loves Telly. So that's at She Loves Telly.
Yeah.
Ladies Who Launch.
Love that.
Yeah, and that's got a weird spelling, so I'll spell that for you. It's LadeWhoLaunch, Ladies Who Launch, and that's all one word, Twitter handle, and the third one is Tunbridge Swells, which is also all one word. So, She Loves Telly, Ladies Who Launch, Tunbridge Swells are all on Twitter, or you can find Sarah's website at sarahbond.co.uk, and those venues I read out to you earlier, you can pop in and sign a petition, should you wish to.
This is exciting, Paul Andrews.
Really?
Come along, you know this is very dear to my heart, come along and meet KLM. So we've got to go.
Right.
Yep. Tuesday, 23rd of April, Kent Channel Chamber Networking Breakfast. The venue is at Bay Point, which we were talking about earlier, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Ramsgate Road Sandwich, and that's CT13 9QL. The cost for members is $14.40, and for non-members it's £18. That's including a VAT. Alex Weir, who is the KLM's account manager, he'll be giving a lowdown on KLM's twice daily services to Amsterdam. That's Schiphol Airport.
It's where, Jules?
Schiphol. It has daily services to Schiphol, which starts from Manson Airport on the 2nd of April. He'll also be telling us all about the special deals and offers available on worldwide flights. Because, Paul Andrews, you and I could go off to Abu Dhabi this afternoon if you felt like it. From Manston. Isn't that amazing? Or maybe not you and I, maybe just me.
Thank goodness for that.
I saw his face drop, listener.
I was in stunned shock then.
Yeah, he knows what the drink bill would be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the flights would be nothing.
He'll also be telling us all about the special deals and offers available on worldwide flights now accessible from Manston. To book your place, please contact the fabulous Tracy Reynolds, who's a regular Business Bunker listener. There is a phone number. I'm going to give that to you in a minute. I'm reading out the website, which is www.kentchannelchamber.co.uk, and the number is 01303 270022. So that's Tuesday the 23rd of April. It's Kent Channel Chamber Networking. Go along and meet Alex Weir of the KLM. Let's get him on the show, Paul Andrews. That's what I say.
Yeah. Sorry, who was it? Wasn't Henri, was it?
Alex, no. We've had Henri. Well, Henri, if you remember, was the MD of Air France.
No, he's the general manager for...
Air France.
For UK and Ireland for Air France.
Yes. Yeah. See, you've got a memory like an elephant. Alex Weir is the KLM's account manager.
Oh, right. Okay. And Manston.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll get him on.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's at Manston, but he's going to be at... Okay. At this chamber networking breakfast at Bay Point View. He might not be based at Manson, might he?
Yeah,
he might be in Schiphol.
He could be in Schiphol.
He could fluctuate between the two.
Yeah.
Lovely airport, Schiphol.
It is.
Yeah.
Have you got your clogs?
It's just Jules likes saying Schiphol. She fancies herself as a mimic.
Yes.
Don't get her started on Antipodean stuff. Otherwise, we could be all day with
my
her.
South African is really it is to be sought hard, after. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to take you to task over that.
Why?
I saw a tweet the other day about that stupid meerkat.
Oh, him?
Yeah, and you were wobbling on, or the meerkat was wobbling on about Australia.
Was he?
I've told you a million times that meerkats, I'm either from Russia, that would be all of. Yeah, or Australia. They're from Southern Africa, Namibia.
So, yeah, but he wanted to come on the Business Bunker, didn't he?
He's not coming here, damn
thing. But he calls it the Business Binker, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which annoys you. Talking of...
This bemused, stunned silence in this, you know, that I what we're talking about.
We actually have very sensible guests.
Yeah.
People.
Just to fill in our guests and the listener, this meerkat is a 6-foot stuffed toy that is on offer for raising money for Pilgrim's Hospice. And it's been stalking me for 6 months now. Everywhere I go, this thing turns up. And I have to say, it's evil looking, isn't it? Don't you think? It's evil looking. Yeah, okay.
Very nice, so, 6 foot.
Yeah.
It's got a very dirty tail at the moment because he's been dragged around to all these venues. He stalked me for about 6 months. But he's actually, my new husband's very upset because he's had to start a Twitter thing, you know, because of, he works for Bloomberg and they've said he's got to tweet. And Meerkat's actually got more followers than my husband.
Bloomberg.
He's actually head of international emerging markets for the whole of Bloomberg. And the Meerkat has got more followers. So it's a sort of standing joke in our house.
And he had to be told to tweet.
Yes.
Well, we can chat about that later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will. And it's very difficult, isn't it, when you're tweeting on behalf of a company. I'm sure, Johnny, you'll have lots of... Because I tweet for a couple of clients and I have to put myself in their head, if you know what I mean, rather than sounding like me, which is all fab and drinks and Prosecco and things.
And food.
I've got to sound and like drink. Them.
So they wouldn't... He had to tweet under a Bloomberg...
It's his own name.
Oh, okay.
But he's writing a book and he's got to have the Twitter following for writing a book.
Naturally, yeah.
And promote it. Mm. So, but he knows a very good PR, so that PR might help him promote it, mightn't they, Paul Andrews?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as long as it's not you.
But the thing is, he's also rather crafty, because he said, I've backed him on this book, and it's about emerging markets, so Nigeria and all these amazing countries, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Russia, Turkey. But then, the jewel in the crown, he'll just have to go and visit them for 6 months, all these countries, while a little wifey stays at home.
Ah, right. So you're not accompanying him as his official PR then?
No.
And
no doubt he'll have a blonde in every town.
I'm sure he will. Go, Gav. Yeah. We're rooting for you, mate.
I know. But just remember that Meerkat's got more followers than you.
Yeah, true. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
A bit of tunage.
But who's tweeting?
No, we'll do the tweets after the tunage.
And who are you playing?
A bit of Rod Stewart.
Oh, lovely.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. For the morning sun and all its glory, greets the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my life with laughter, somehow you make it better, ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one, to the one. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Yeah. give thanks and pray to the one, to the one that ever told you lately that I love you. Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with gladness, take away my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Take away all my sadness, fill my life with gladness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. Take away all my sadness, fill my life with gladness, ease my troubles, that's what you do.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Have I told you lately? Bit of Rod Stewart there. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's much better than your usual Duffy sort of things that you come up with.
Yeah, well, you keep taking me to task over my choice of music.
Yeah, well, some of it.
Yeah, so I thought I'd play something a bit more downbeat for a change.
I liked your Joan Jett, that was good.
Yeah.
But you got ridiculed for that, didn't you?
Yeah. I can't win, it doesn't matter what I pick.
Who's right. tweeting you?
Well, I've got loads of tweets. I've got a tweet from Kent Choices for You, who have just said, hi, we're listening to the Business Bunker. And I just checked them out on their website, and it's the Kent County Council apprenticeship crew that are trying to find apprentices or apprentice positions for people and trying to place apprentices with businesses. So you can follow them on Kent Choices for You. That's Kent Choices, the number 4 and the letter U, all one word. And then I also had a tweet from Shetway District Council.
Okay, what are they saying?
And Shetway District Council have a drop-in session for businesses interested in taking on apprentices, and it's at the Grand Hotel, that's in Folkestone, on the 26th of March, that'll be next Tuesday, and that's between 5 and 7pm in the evening.
So you can listen to the Business Bunker and then you can go straight on.
And then you
on.
Can toddle off to the Grand at Folkestone.
Yeah.
And join in with Shetway District Council's apprenticeship workshop. You can find out more about it by going to their website, which is www.shetway.gov.uk. But do try and get along to that. It could be very interesting. They're going to be talking about apprenticeships that are available and the funding that goes along with that for small businesses. So if you're running a small business in the Shetway area out on here on the Romney Marsh or Folkestone or Hive, anywhere around here, get along to that next Tuesday between 5 and 7pm.
Well, I've had one here, Paul Andrews, which is from Church International, going on the same sort of vein. They have launched the Church Academy. It's an IT recruitment scheme to boost local employment. So Monday the 18th of March, Church International, a cross-sector IT and corporate governance recruitment consultancy, have launched a scheme to identify and train some of the UK's brightest young stars, starting with a recruitment drive in Kent. The Church Academy, planned for launch in June of this year, is the first dedicated IT recruitment training scheme. Following an extensive consultation process with Joe Gregory, who's a seasoned recruitment training professional and also director of training for the Institute of Recruiters, Church International has devised a comprehensive training programme to meet the particular requirements of the IT recruitment sector. This is an ongoing programme which will give local talent of people aged 16 plus from the Maidstone and wider area a comprehensive introduction to IT recruitment. It'll give them a foot on the employment ladder and a head start in building a successful recruitment career. This is a brilliant idea, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So the new recruits will initially undergo 3 months of intensive classroom-based training, which will be combined with practical on-the-job training in the church's international busy Maidstone HQ, followed by a longer-term personal career development plan, which will be tailored to each individual. There'll be an eight 8-module training program, and the trainees will get an exclusive insight into a leading recruitment consultancy and receive invaluable training in key skills, including proactive talent sourcing, social recruitment, managing the recruitment life cycle, business development, and client and candidate relationship building. And there will be specifically, the program's going to cover the fundamental differences between IT and general recruitment practices through a candidate-centric attraction and selection process, intensive classroom and at-the-desk training, and an individual mentoring scheme throughout the first year of their careers. And new starters will be able to integrate into the team and create an ongoing structure of talent acquisition for the business. So this sounds fantastic. So well done, Jo Gregory, who is the Director of Training at the Institute of Recruiters. And she says that the Church Academy will not only give these new consultants a priceless career advantage in terms of comprehensive and innovative recruitment skills training, but she hopes that it will also inspire many other people to explore career opportunities in this flourishing professional sector. Now, you need to contact... Well, there's something here from Chris Andrews, who's the CEO of Church International. She's quoted as saying, "We believe that recruitment is about people and personal relationships, and our establishment of the Church Academy reflects this. We're excited to be investing time and money into young people who we feel have an exciting future in recruitment. In the same way we look after our clients, we want to inspire, guide and support our new recruits. Our entire team has progressed from the ground up, so we understand what challenges they're likely to face. And through this scheme, we hope to help them accomplish their full potential." That's Chris Andrews, who's the CEO of Church International. So if you're interested, they're looking for applications from individuals who think they've got what it takes to succeed in this demanding industry. Deadline for entries is Friday the 5th of April. I'm going to read out a website in a minute. So Friday the 5th of April, shortlist candidates will be invited to an assessment centre later in the month. A very, very exciting idea, this, from the Church Academy, IT recruitment. So if you need some further info, you can go on to 3w.church-int.com. And there is a Twitter handle, which is at churchint, I-N-T. And the email is info@church-int.com. And we will put details of that on the Business Bunker show website after the show. Perhaps they ought to come on.
Yeah.
Paul Andrews. Perhaps and tell should. Us all about it.
Yeah. It's a great scheme, that. And there's lots of things happening with apprenticeships around and about the place. For a long, long time, businesses have been reluctant to look at the apprenticeship scheme because most of the businesses I talk to, the SMEs that I talk to, feel that the whole process is too top-down. That's the big thing that they're worried about.
It's top-down, then.
Well, they think it's all driven... In the old days, when I were a lad, yeah, and I used to get up at 4 in the morning, lick the raw clean with tongue and all that, what happened in those days...
Come
is
down
the,
from chimney.
The employer found the apprentice and hired the apprentice and then sent them to a college 1 or 2 days a week to get their formalised training in city and guilds.
Yeah.
But the thing was run by the employer. A lot of people now think that it's actually run by the government or the government's appointed representatives.
Mm.
And a lot of people are concerned that it concerns lots of form filling, political correctness, rules and regulations, you know, and there's got to be rules and regulations. Of course there has, you know, because you've got to protect young people and you don't want people being ripped off or anything like that.
Mm.
But for a long, long time, they've struggled to get apprentices out there because the whole thing is driven top down these days. Nearly all the employers I've been speaking to over the years have been wary of that.
Mm.
They're finally starting to come around and saying, well, look, maybe we just ought to look at this more and do something more. And it's great with people like Church developing their own accredited apprenticeship programs. That is really good stuff. Because the recruitment industry is one of those industries that does take a lot of graduates, actually.
Mm.
So getting some formalised training is absolutely brilliant. And one of the things I particularly love about that scheme that they've said is a lot of it isn't just throwing you in the deep end and going, there's a phone, there's a telephone directory, go and do some work. It's actually formalised, structured classroom training,
as well.
And they've got mentors and all that kind of stuff. So it's really brilliant.
Going just going on from that, Paul, Go Vicinity, you know Rob Parker?
Yes,
who's
indeed.
A regular Bunker listener. Very diligently, he listens every week. He's got a Canterbury-based IT consultancy called Go Vicinity, and it's Rob Parker. They're just near the cinema there, the Odeon. He recently took on a graphic design graduate.
Oh, right.
And he's saying, you know, it's allowed us to take on loads more work, as well as investing back into the design community. And he said it's really hard out there for design students to find jobs, and it's a great way of helping. And I've actually featured him in my business column this week because it was good. And the other person that has apprentices and has done really well is Rebecca at Serenity Health and Beauty.
Rebecca now?
Yeah.
She's
She's taken on a couple, and they're still at college doing their manicure and waxing and all that.
Oh, don't mention waxing.
I know. Makes you flinch, doesn't it?
It makes my eyes water. Mm.
But well done. So if you are thinking of taking on an apprentice, there are schemes out there, and we'll try and dig them out for future shows.
Mm. Cool. Thank you for that. I think we'll turn to our first guest now.
Oh, let's.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Mr. Johnny Jensen of liveandsocial.com. Johnny, welcome to the Business Bunker. Thank you for joining us. You were telling us while we were doing some of the things on apprenticeships that you've had some involvement in that area as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, first of all.
Pleasure.
Yeah, the Digital Youth Academy.
Right.
Fabulous lady, friend and business associate of mine, Penny Power. She's spearheaded the Digital Youth Academy, and she was formerly the founder of eCademy.
Mm-hmm.
Through work that she's done with the British Chamber of Commerce and the Federation of Small Businesses, she surveyed them and found out that basically brand Britain was suffering from poor use of the internet.
Right.
For all manner of businesses, whether that be B2B or consumer.
Yeah.
And then when she went back to the businesses and said, why is this? They said, well, we don't know how to do it. And then, you know, that's in one hand. On the other hand, you've got kids, 16 to 24. What do they know, like a second nature?
Absolutely.
Using social media, using Facebook, using Twitter. Mm. What they haven't got is the applied business skills.
Mm.
So there's a need for the people, and then there's a need for the people to have the job. So the Digital Youth Academy is a formal apprenticeship program, and very much like you were talking about, Jules, they put it together. So they're experts. I've been part of it at the start around the curriculum, but it's a curriculum that makes sense and is applied with the knowledge of social business and social media. And then they, when young people come to take the apprenticeship program, they get screened, basically. There's a foundation course if they're not up to scratch at that point. And then the people that want these apprentices come, and you get matched up. It's not like, oh, you just get plonked, a young person. The young person still has to basically earn that position there,
right?
And then so you just get buy-in from all sides, and then it's an apprenticeship program where there's a real need for those skills.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned when I was doing the setting this up and the research of it was, you know, too many young people, I mean, I'm going to pick hairdressing, but that's not very fair, but generating too many hairdressers. And then you get classic apprenticeship programs like engineers where they say there's not enough.
Yeah.
And that's a cultural thing.
Absolutely. I could rant on that topic for days on end, let me tell you.
We love your rants.
I mean, even when I was at school, which was before the First World War, basically the careers master offered you two things when I went to school in, it was a really good school. It was approved. that's an old joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
They offered
young
you,
offender, were
well,
you?
Yeah, they offered you two options, really. I went to an all-boys school, secondary school, and it was either you worked in Chatham Dockyards, which was still open in those days, or you joined the army. And if you expressed a desire to do anything else, they just looked at you incredulously and said, don't be ridiculous. And it's careers advice is still quite similar to that these days.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
But on the cultural point, in Germany, you get two options when you're a young person.
Yeah.
You go to university, or you take an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And it's respected. It's not like, oh dear, he's an apprentice. Mm. Like it's a choice. It's a distinct choice.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And again, it's one of the things that has got slightly skewed. We became obsessed with sending everybody to university. To the detriment of vocational training, and now we see in Kent especially, we have a massive shortage of engineering people, manufacturing, electronics people, unbelievable, because you know, people haven't been, when they did go to university, they didn't read engineering either. So, you know, you're absolutely right.
I'm not actually sure, though, that kids are coming out of school being taught really good IT skills.
No, well, until recently, yeah, exactly. Mm, I mean,
until recently,
they weren't taught IT at all.
They were taught,
in fact, they're not, yeah.
How to use Microsoft products.
Yeah, they were taught office productivity tools, and that's what turned most of the kids off. Chris is a guest later on. He and I were discussing this earlier while we were off air. You know, a lot of kids that aren't academic just aren't engaged at school. Mm. One of the things that does engage them is new technology, but after 50 years, of IT being mainstream, we still don't teach it in school. At best, we teach office productivity stuff like Microsoft Word, and the kids can do that standing on their head.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're bored. Mm. But at last, the government announced, I think, 2 months ago, a change in the curriculum, and they are actually going to bother to teach IT.
Right.
The big problem is now they've got no one to teach it.
Of course. But someone you should get on the show, do you know
Doreen Flies from Epic. Yes, I do indeed.
Awesome what she's doing. East Kent coding camps for young people.
Yeah.
And they are oversubscribed. And she's, you know, big on my heart is just, you know, the digital literacy of Kent.
Yeah.
And coding is, I mean, already it's the industry of tomorrow here today.
Absolutely.
Everything we use is based on programming right now, and if young people can cultivate those skills, then they're the businesses of the future, and they're going to employ people and make
absolutely.
Money in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, Doreen has actually been on the show quite a long time ago now, and her partner Nick. Just for those of you that don't know, they own a software business that is very successful. It produces PHP tools for geeky programmers. Don't ask, it's just very clever stuff, and they decided to give something back, and they started Epic, which is this teaching kids programming skills, real programming skills, and it's awesome. It's an awesome scheme, isn't it? It's just really good, and it there was, you know, it's just so needed. Yeah, unbelievable.
But for anybody who's listening and they got kids, or they think, like, what are these people talking about? Minecraft. My 11-year-old boy spends hours and hours and hours a day playing Minecraft. And you know, it's better than being in gangs on the street. And you know, the geeks are taking over the world.
Absolutely.
It's not something to be ashamed of, as much as I would like him not to spend 50 hours a week looking at a screen.
But you know, there's, funnily enough, a former relative of mine was a senior officer in the Air Force, and quite old school, but even he was saying that in the latter part of his career in the Air Force, the Royal Air Force noticed a massive increase in ability in terms of flying potential from kids that played lots of computer games. Their hand-eye reaction times were supremely quick, and they would actually beat experienced pilots quite easily because they'd just been brought up in that type of environment. And every generation does this, doesn't it? Everybody says, oh, it wasn't like it was in my day. You know, the youth of today don't know when they were born, sit in front of a computer screen, they can't read and write and all that kind of stuff. It's not really true. And, you know, life's moved on and people adapt their skills to what is relevant in a 21st century setting.
Yeah, but to bring this back, like, relevant really to businesses, HMV, Jessops, Saab, Volvo, Thomas Cook nearly went that way. You know, if you don't stay relevant, then you're gone. And you mentioned the high street earlier.
Yeah.
And it's about adapting and taking the opportunities that present themselves to not just sticking your head in the sand.
Absolutely right. And that really kind of leads us on into your area of interest, which is social media and the whole digital world.
Yep.
And also some specific things you've got planned. But let's talk about the specific things you've got planned first, and then we'll go into the general stuff in a minute. Why don't you tell us about what's coming up in April over this way in Folkestone?
Yeah, so I'm, really, really excited about this. I got to, you know, get me started on the kind of Kent business events, and you'll hear me go off on a bit of a rant. But I'm very much a person of rather moan about things, do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Digital in Kent, I'm delighted and proud to say, is happening on April the 17th at the Quarter House in Folkestone. My business and background, I've been involved in the internet and digital marketing since 1999, worked at Lycos UK, Bongiorno as a mobiles value-added service provider. I've worked in e-learning and now, you know, social business, social media for the last 5 years. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about the digital literacy of Kent businesses. And, you know, you go to events, and I'm not going to pick on people, but you know, these events where there's...
Go on, pick on someone.
Okay, the Kent 2020 drives me bonkers. You got a massive space with businesses of all kinds. I've got a cleaning company next to the fire brigade, next to an insurance company.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's all put together for the to sell the shelves, to put the ads in the brochure, and it's the world's changed. It's, you know, the thing now is about adding value to people. So you flip it on the head, you put an event together that is orientated towards adding value to the people that need it, the people that are going to be there. Then if you've got, you know, 200 or 300 people at an event, that's going to attract the right businesses. So Digital in Kent is all about that. It's happening on April 17th, like I said. You can go to the website digitalinkent.co.uk. There's an early bird ticket price on there at the moment. It's just £37. And you know, working with Better Business Events, I've been able to get some fabulous keynote speakers to join us on the day. Thomas Power, who's Penny Power's husband, founder of eCademy in the UK, one of the world's sort of the foremost voices on Google and what's happening with Google Plus and the Google ecosystem. That's another whole subject I could talk for hours on. It's so exciting. If you're in business, you need to understand what Google Apps and Google Plus can do for your business. Tony Fish, who's based up at London's Tech City, he's an angel investor. He runs something called the Innovation Warehouse. He's been responsible for the launch of 50 successful businesses in the last 4 years. I don't know Simon Colston, but he's speaking as well. He's an internet marketer with a fabulous track record based in Kent, making lots of money on the internet and helping businesses. And some guy called Johnny Jensen, who's going to be talking about the importance of being remarkable and, you know, remarkable business. That's what we all want to be. You can call it social media and whatever else, bit of technology. But what, you know, remarkable businesses get talked about.
Yeah.
Remarkable businesses have people that love working there. Remarkable businesses provide fabulous customer service. If you're a customer of a business like that, you can't help but stay loyal and you can't help but talk about them. So that's what I'll be talking about on the day. And then also supporting the event from around Kent, Zoe Cairns of Zoe Cairns Social Media.
Oh, Zoe, yeah.
Josh Whitten, Luke Quilter of Sleeping Giant.
Sleeping Giant,
Media.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, a real fabulous team have been put together, and we're so passionate about this event because, like I said, too many businesses shy away from this thing called the internet, or they think that they're going to do some social media just by sticking up a Twitter page or slapping something up on Facebook. People put more energy, people are more protective about what goes on their business cards than they are about what goes on LinkedIn and Facebook. And it's crazy. You know, one of the things I say to businesses is your LinkedIn strategy helping or killing your business?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not a day that's just about how to do this and how to do that, but it's also not just a day about the keynote speakers. And I was really clear about my vision for this event. Is that so? You know, businesses, I really encourage you to come. What you're going to get out of the day is 4 fabulous keynote speakers. Interspersed with that is little workshops and real practical kind of breakout sessions. They're at varying levels of skill or experience, and the benefit of that is that this is a really an event for small businesses and big businesses. It's an event for people who've not really got a grip with their internet presence, their social media presence, and it's for businesses that are doing it but just wondering why it's not really being successful. So I mean, I could tell you a lot more about it, but it's April 17th, digitalinkent.co.uk.
In Folkestone,
in the Quarter House. It's really exciting what's happening in Folkestone. In fact, all across Kent, from the Tuttles in Rochester and in Tunbridge Wells, through my business, Live and Social, and what we're doing in Maidstone.
I was going to ask you about that as well, Johnny. Sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Are you involved with the new hot desking space in Maidstone, Jelly?
Maidstone Jelly, yeah. Thanks for mentioning that, County town of Kent. I was born and raised there. I didn't think I'd be back, but now I am. I said before, rather than moan about things, I like to get up and do something about it. So tech industries, business startups, if you've got a laptop, internet connection and a supportive community, that's all you need to succeed. So Maidstone, I'm like, wow, what's going on? Okay, so let's encourage this business community to start up in Maidstone. We are hosting the Maidstone Jelly, which is Twitter at Maidstone Jelly. You can go to meetup.com/Maidstone-jelly, and it's a co-working fortnightly event on a Wednesday afternoon at Stepping Stones Cafe. And
that's in the L Street Museum Street area, isn't it?
No, it's actually just up opposite the McDonald's, up by near the station.
Oh, okay, I know. Yeah.
For anyone who's about my age,
Paul doesn't go to McDonald's.
It used to be the Paul Reynolds Hairdressers, and now it's the Stepping Stones Cafe. And what Emma's doing at Stepping Stones is amazing in terms of like what I'm doing around tech and business and social media and internet in Maidstone. Emma's putting the same amount of effort into Maidstone as culture and art. It's really easy to think that Maidstone's kind of like not doing anything, but if you scratch beneath the surface, there are people there that are doing stuff, and I'm proud to say I'm part of that.
Brilliant. No, it's good stuff. I don't know if you know, but I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a co-working hot desking space in Canterbury, and we've had a whale of a time with that. We've had 1,000 people through the door in 18 months, and we, you know, that's things that we do, a thing called Create, which is a monthly evening event as well. I was made up when I saw that the Jelly in Maidstone had opened, and I thought that was really cool too, because there wasn't a lot happening in Maidstone on that front, and it needed it. So, no, it's good stuff.
Well, I've got to mention Anwyn Cooper, who's a lovely lady who I met at a Kent Foundation blast, and she came up to me and said, I've just moved to the Maidstone area, I'm having a baby in 6 months, and I want to start up a co-working group, and I want to find someone who can help me. And with my God hat on, I'm like, yeah, I prayed for someone like you to walk into my life, and here you are, and it's just perfect. So Anne and I have struck up a really great relationship, and we're really driving this forward in Maidstone.
Cool. Good stuff.
I love that. A woman who's got 6 months, she's going to have a baby, and she's thinking about her career.
Didn't I tell you the story of the lovely Emily?
No.
Create is an event that we run once a month in the evenings at Fruitworks, and it's just we call it a not working event, and we give free, it's free to come, and we have
free beer, Johnny.
We have free beer and stuff like that, and we have normally have three speakers and some entertainment, and we talk about all kinds of different stuff. And just before Christmas, we had the lovely Emily, who's known as East Kent Mum on Twitter. And she is book publisher by trade, but she'd given up work to have babies, and was looking to start a business publishing what I called coffee table books, and she punched me in the face. Producing customised books, very nice books, a fantastic business model. Well, she did a presentation at Create whilst breastfeeding.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I had a baby clasped to her bosom whilst actually doing a presentation.
A bit of milk dried up.
That was really novel.
Well, she writes for Donna Whitby's Inline magazine.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
cool.
Here's the kicker, though. I said to Anne, Anwyn's all about what she's going to get up to in a few months, and she says, oh, well, I'll have the baby, and then I'll sort of do that for a couple of months. And so it's her first child.
Wow.
I've got three.
Wait till she's had three,
So I said to her, it might take you a little bit longer than that.
Do you know, Johnny, that's why I started up my own business, because I used to work for ICI years ago, sales, and every time I was going into a meeting, I'd get the phone call going, hey, little Johnny's sick, can you come? And it was just, like, ridiculous. So I just thought, I can't work for anyone, I'll just work for myself. It's much easier.
Well, that's the beauty of today's world, is that, you know...
You can do that.
The skills, you've got the energy, and if you've got a laptop, you're away.
Yeah, cool. We could talk about this forever, but sadly, time is moving on. For the moment, Johnny Jensen, thank you very much. Give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle, so people, and your LinkedIn address, Facebook page, and all those other things, so that people can stalk you.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. So, Live and Social, we help businesses go social. You can give me a call, and we can talk more about what that might mean for your business. Website is all the W's, liveandsocial.com, and you can find me at Johnny Jensen, JONNIEJENSEN on Twitter, and across Facebook, Google Plus. If you're not on Google Plus, you need to be. So my handle, Johnny Jensen, you'll find me everywhere.
Cool.
And Live and Social, you'll find us everywhere. So look forward to hearing from you.
Brilliant. Thank you for that, Johnny. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, and feel free to join in. But it's great to hear from you. Thank you very much. And I'm really looking forward to Digital Kent, because I will be there, because apparently I'm chairing it.
Yeah, nice. Good.
Apparently.
You seem to chair everything.
Oh, no, I don't know why.
Yeah, and you're always on BBC Radio Kent as well.
I have done a few for him recently,
Why you bother coming in here, really?
I know.
You're always on BBC Radio Kent.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
I've had an email here, Dear Jules, Owen Him, indoors. Would you mind giving me a plug today on the show? I'm looking for a corporate sponsors at £250. This is from Bruce Bell.
Oh, Brucey. Yeah.
Brucey Bell. He says, I'm looking for corporate sponsors at £250 where I can fly their flag at the top of Mount Elgon, which is the largest volcanic mountain in Africa. Did you know that, Paul Andrews?
Yeah.
He's going in June, and he asks if you could just email or call me for more details. It's www.justgiving.com/Bruce-Bell-Mount-Elgon-Challenge. We will put details of that on the Business Bunker website after the show. But well, thank
it's
you,
on there now, actually.
Bruce.
It's on there now. It's on there right now.
How efficient you are, Mr.
Yeah, well, it's been on there a while as well, actually, because if you remember, the lovely Debbie Cameron, who's the branch manager of the Institute of Directors in Kent, is also doing the challenge, and my mate, Imperious Blablinky, Mr. David Philpott, who's now the former chairman of IOD Kent, is the one that's organised that whole...
David Philpott, now he's retired from being the chairman, is busier than ever.
Absolutely, yeah.
He doesn't stop.
Yeah, and we have a radio personality that's taken over that job.
We do.
Emma Lydiard, who's managing director of Heart FM for Kent and South East.
I wonder if she's listening in now.
Oh, I'm sure she is. In fact, funnily enough, we've got a guest coming on the show in 2 weeks' time that she recommended.
Really?
Come on, yeah, she recommended that they get in touch and come on the bunker.
Okay.
Yeah, so good stuff. I've had loads of tweets now. I'm just going to flash through a few of those.
Through tweeters.
And then we're going to play some more tunage, and then we'll come to our next studio guest. But for the moment, we've had Cheryl Randira and Core Financial Services have both tweeted saying that they're listening in, as well as West Kent Networking. I think that's Belinda, isn't it? Belinda at West Kent Networking.
Hello, Belinda.
And lovely Tracy Bartlett. Tracy, I struggle with Tracy. I really do. I struggle with Tracy.
Do you?
I so want her to come on the show, and she and every time she says, oh, I haven't got a voice for radio, I go, and you think we have?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Tracy, come on the show, please. Yes. Tracy, you can find Tracy on Twitter at _businesshelper.
Tracy, you know what they say, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Absolutely. But she's listening in anyway, so... we'd love to have you on the show.
I've had a tweet here from Ken Lloyd at Kent Tweet Ups. It's a Twitter handle. This Thursday, 10 a.m, the Hotel Continental Whitstable is the Kent Business Tweet Up. Come and meet and greet. It's all free networking. And also the following Thursday at Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury. That's the 28th off the top of my head.
Right.
So that's the Kent Business Tweet Up. We know that there is an imposter out there. But we are the original 2009 established Kent Business Tweet Up. So come along and see us.
When's that? Thursday?
This Thursday at the Hotel Continental in Whitstable.
My favourite place, next door to the Beach Cafe.
Yes, but you're on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, but you can have the protein. You can have eggs, you can have bacon, you can have tomatoes.
That would be breakfast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you don't have the sausages and you don't have the toast, Mr. Andrews, or the butter on the toast.
Oh, right. Is that it?
Yeah.
And what about a Prosecco? Where does that fit in?
Well, I'll just have your portion of that.
Yeah,
which I manage very well. We haven't talked about the Taste of Kent Awards, have we?
We haven't very much,
Because I sat next to Paul Andrews at the dinner, and of course...
Which was a result for you, wasn't it?
He's teetotal, and he was on a diet, and I was saying, go on, it's only one night. I was being sweet, to be fair.
Yeah, but you knew there was no way I'd give in, because I've got willpower.
Yeah.
So I paid a humongous amount of money for this ticket, I don't drink alcohol, and I'm on a diet, so I didn't eat food. So guess who had all of mine?
Exactly.
Yeah, your Welsh rarebit. His Welsh rarebit was lovely, Johnny. Really was lovely. And his wine was very nice, too. And his pudding was divine.
I enjoyed the meal, apparently.
Yeah, the pudding was crumble. It was very, very nice.
Was it?
Yeah.
So did you eat for two?
I ate for about eight, actually.
Which isn't unusual.
Because John Sykes, who's my co-presenter on Scoff, he doesn't drink because he was driving me. So I had his as well.
I'm getting this picture in my mind of you at the end of that night.
I was fine.
Actually, Johnny, the picture works at the beginning of the night as well, to be honest. She'd only just made it there from the pub, to be perfectly
fair.
Well,
my getting ready routine is bottle of Prosecco, because that's the nicest part. The actual before you go out when you're a girl is sitting on your bed putting your makeup on, you've got your music playing and your bottle of Prosecco. That's the best bit.
The funniest one with Jules was last summer. I got a tweet in the middle of the afternoon and it went, I'm on the third bottle in Wheeler's in Whitstable. Got to go soon because I'm going out to dinner.
What about that time when you phoned me at Friday, wasn't it? About 5 o'clock. And he said, answer your phone. And I said, no, because I'm drinking and I'm not going to answer the phone when I'm drinking. Because I know he'll get me and he'll make me, you know, I don't know.
Agree to something.
Yeah, that I don't want to do.
I think for new listeners to the show, Jules does look great sitting
there. A bit ruddy, but...
I'm not challenging you to any drinking game, so that's for sure.
Talking of ruddy, we're going to play some records.
Oh, who have we got?
Simply Red.
Oh.
That's a bit ruddy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the fairground.
A bit Hucknall, a bit red.
Reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. That was a bit of Mick Hucknall, Simply Red at the fairground. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome to the Business Bunker our second guest, Mr. Christopher Longdon, who is a partner with Whitehead
Monkton Solicitors.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if there is any connection here at all. It's just a piece of arcane stuff that I know. I used to live in Bearstead, which is a village on the outskirts of Maidstone.
Indeed, yeah.
And two doors down from me, they weren't similar, they were just in proximity, lived Lord Monkton, who was the current Lord Monkton. But his father had been Viscount Monkton, who was the lawyer that engineered Edward VIII's abdication. And I always wondered if, because the name Monkton is spelt the same as well, with a CK, and I just wondered if there was any connection. Do you know if there is?
I believe there is, actually, but it's going back a very, very long way. Tim Monkton, who's our senior partner, he's a sixth generation Monkton's.
Oh, it must, so, must be.
I think there is a connection there, actually. Oh, cool. But you've wholly embarrassed me, because I can't clarify it. But I'm sure you're right.
No, it's just interesting, because the names are spelt the same as well. So tell us a little bit about Whitehead Monkton themselves to start with, Chris, and then we'll move on from there.
Well, Whitehead Monkton, we've been around since 1781, I believe.
Blimey.
You don't and, look that old.
No. None of the current partners are still alive, regrettably. But, yes, we've been in King Street in Maidstone since something like 1839. But we're not just a stuffy old law firm. In the last number of years, we've had something of a mini-revolution, I think you'd call it,
right,
in terms of how we approach things. And it's a very exciting time at the moment. We're about to open a new office in Canterbury, which is going to happen from the week after next.
Cool.
Whereabouts is that?
That is in Watling Street, just along from the Methodist Church. And that's very exciting, and I'm going to be involved in that from a couple of months' time.
Right.
And it's just one way to extend our reach, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And just while we were talking about offices as well, because you've had a long-established office in Tenterton, which is my neck of the woods.
We have.
But you're moving into some new places.
We are,
indeed. I heard on the grapevine.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to happen in a couple of months' time. But so Tim Monkton set that up in 1984, but we get an absolutely spanking new office very close to Waitrose, which is opening in a couple of months' time. So we're sort of going from just about two offices to fully fledged three in a very short space of time, and extending our reach in a big way. But that's not just what we're doing. We're looking at the way we approach things. We get out and meet people, and one of the other things we're doing is very much pushing our charity work.
You're involved with CHIPS, aren't you?
We are, yes, yeah. Yes. We have a charity of the year every year.
Right.
And for the last 2 years, well, it's our second year, we've with CHIPS, Children and Young Persons, the Eleanor Hospice.
Yeah.
And, we raise money, internally. Mm-hmm. And get other businesses involved in that as well, and we have a target, and it's great stuff. I mean, they are an absolutely marvellous outfit.
Absolutely,
And we had an internal vote, actually, and we decided to stick with them for the second year, because it's absolutely marvellous. But beyond that...
For those that don't know about CHIPS, CHIPS provide... hospice type arrangements, but in-house, at home.
Yeah, it's for children, terminally ill children. Yeah. And, rather than having to be shipped off elsewhere, it's inside. I mean, they've been going since, I think it's 1994.
Yeah.
They had a rebranding, but, been remarkably successful. And what they do, I think, we really believe is unique.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sorry to interrupt you there.
No, it's all right. The other thing we've actually done, in fact, is set up our own charitable foundation about 2 years ago.
Hmm.
And what we found, actually, was lots of people were saying to us, preparing a will, whatever it may be, they don't know, they want to leave money to charity, they don't know where to leave it.
Hmm.
So we set up our own foundation, which has been incredibly successful in a very short space of time. And about a year ago, started making grants to charities, mainly Kent-based, but not exclusively.
Right.
It's just something which is just really the staff are bought into as well, in a big way. But we've been out about £70,000 in the last 8 or 9 months.
Wow, and
it's going to grow very, very considerably. It's been a marvellous thing to be involved in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Coming back to Whitehead Monkton themselves, how many partners, associates do you have in the firm, is this?
Well, we're total staff about 75, 15 partners.
Right.
And mostly based in Maidstone, but right. I mean, we've grown organically, you know. And I mean, the expansion I've just been talking about in Canterbury and Tenterden fundamentally is, you know, it's organic growth. You know, we see ourselves very much absolute. Well, we rebranded as the Kent Law Firm.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We truly believe we are.
Yeah.
With the spread from the county town now to the obviously the cathedral city of Kent, and down to the south with Tenterden. So. We're going to be spreading staff around much more evenly so we can reach into all the areas that we haven't before.
And you yourself, do you have a particular specialism in law?
Yes, I'm traditionally what's known as a litigator.
Right.
I sue people.
Okay.
Seriously, it's what we now call dispute resolution.
Right.
It's a fashionable term, but it is about helping people fundamentally and helping businesses.
Right.
And private clients with you know the problems that they have.
Right.
I'm also for my sins an accredited mediator,
okay.
civil and commercial disputes, which is a process I'm positively evangelical about. Really,
right.
It's about getting people around the table with an independent person, a mediator, who isn't a judge, but somebody who essentially facilitates and assists the parties resolve their disputes. And it's a process which has almost become compulsory in practice.
I was going to say, one of the things that I'm led to believe, and maybe you can clarify this, is that a lot of in a lot of these business-based disputes, especially, is the judiciary look on it favourably if people have tried to settle a dispute without going to law. Really, don't.
Well, I think there's two things about that, Paul. I mean, firstly, there's now an established line of authorities that if a party's unreasonably refused to mediate a case. In other words, tried to settle it, then they'll be penalised, you know, in the legal costs, you know, at the end of the day. And it's very hard now to justify not mediating a dispute. I think the second point is that the whole process of mediation means you can get a result which a judge can't order.
Right.
I mean, all the judge can do if you go to take a court case to trial is find on the law. But I mean, if you've got a continuing business relationship, the judge can't do anything about that.
Right.
And be completely wrecked by the time you get to a trial. So
yeah.
Mediation is just an absolutely marvellous process.
Right.
And statistically, you get, 70% to 80% success rate, really.
Really, that high?
You know, yeah,
it saves lots of money.
Yeah.
It does save a lot of money. Actually, in fact, I would say, honestly, even those cases which don't settle, you learn an awful lot about your opponents. So it's always a process that's worth doing, and I absolutely love it. And I get to see it on both sides of the fence, you know, obviously as someone who's practicing law, but also as a mediator when you just have to take your legal hat off. So,
okay. Yeah. So I'm interested, if you don't mind, exploring that a little bit more. As a mediator, that you're an independent person.
Yes.
Do you sit on your own as a mediator, or is there a panel? How does it actually work?
Well, the way it works is the parties generally have to agree on the identity of the mediator, somebody who may be known to them professionally, but obviously not involved in any other way.
Yeah.
And then generally speaking, I mean, classically, you'll have a day's mediation. And the mediation starts off with the parties all sitting around the table with the mediator chairing a meeting, and they tend to be at sort of loggerheads at that stage, and then they effectively retire to separate rooms, and the mediator goes between them, bouncing ideas off them, suggestions. You know, mediators aren't supposed to do that too proactively, but you know, you've got to get things going.
Right, okay.
And, you know, but it stops a lot of the aggro between the parties when, the mediator, when they're not actually physically sitting in the same room.
It's a bit Judge John Deed, that, isn't
is a bit like that, but...
Which is good.
Yeah.
I think it's good, because as you say, once you're in a formal courtroom, a lot of that is just not available to you, and you just have to go through the due process.
Oh, that's absolutely right, Paul. Mm. I mean, I heartily recommend the process to almost anybody, really. I don't think I come across cases now which you would say aren't suitable for it. I mean, all disputes are there to be resolved at the end of the day.
Okay. Is there a legal precedent with this? So if one enters into it, are you then being bound by the mediator's decision?
No, the mediator is purely there to facilitate discussions, and he or she's not a judge. They they can't tell a party what to do, or, right. or at least they can order. They can tell a party what to do if they if they really want to, but they can't order anybody to do anything. I mean, the whole point is it's a consensual process, and the parties can walk away at any stage. I mean, in practice, what all mediators say is, if you think you're going to walk out, tell me first, so that I can persuade you to stay. And that's always a worthwhile exercise. But you know, but I mean, that is really, you know, that is the beauty of it. And I mean, mediation works at all sorts of levels. I mean, it's, you know, you've got small claims now. In fact, the small claims limit for cases is going up to £10,000, which is not insignificant to small businesses. And effectively, there's going to be something, I'd say, akin to compulsory mediation for that. And which is going to be fueled, because in small claims cases, you can't recover your legal costs. So those cases, I think, it's almost compulsory mediation. But all, but you know, at almost every level. I mean, when you start a case, that, you know, the first procedural hearing, the judge will want to know, well, are you going to mediate this dispute? You know, and if not, why not? You know,
Does a judge quite often ask that?
They ask that. Yeah, we haven't actually got to the stage yet of court ordered mediation. Not quite, but I mean, it's. you have to justify very, very clearly and cleverly why you don't want to, and you know, and it's been a sea change in the legal profession, to be honest. So mediation's really come in as a I suppose into the mainstream perhaps in the last 12 or 13 years or so. And you used to see lawyers grandstanding in the process, and it was, to be honest, pretty cringeworthy, because they've got their clients there and they think they've still got to argue their client's case and all that, but that's not really what it's about. And you see much less of that. And of course, you know, fundamentally it's a system which really came from America. A lot of things are driven from there, but I mean, a lot, you know, it is an absolutely great thing. So
I mean, it's in my field and Johnny's field, in the world of digital, there's an interesting concept that's run by ICANN over web intellectual property disputes, web names, and that's a really clever, but that is binding. Basically, there are two levels that you can go for, the $3,000 level or the $5,000, because it's a fixed price. And for $3,000 you get one person, and for $5,000 you get a panel of three people. They sit and hear the two parties, and then they decide who owns the intellectual property.
All of these, I mean, there are lots of systems to avoid cases getting into court, which is just by its whole nature so adversarial. And that's one example. And no, that's a great one. But solicitors will always tell you there are certain types of dispute. They all have to make a living, but really they always feel that these, you know, a classic, you know, it's an old chestnut, but it's boundary type disputes where, you know, there are ultimately no winners. People have to live next door to each other. And we need to find another system to resolve these,
Absolutely.
Types of things.
It's like divorce law, isn't it? Which is, in the past, was always terrible for things like that. You know, you'd have people in the courts for years on end fighting over everything, and at the end of the day the lawyers had all the money,
and the judges sort of misogynist,
and you know, the couple, you know, were left destitute because they'd spent their entire time fighting each other.
I mean, of course there is now a different process of mediation for family law cases, so family mediators. So one of my partners is a family law mediator, and you know, it's all about getting together, trying to resolve it, because certainly you've got children involved too.
Okay. Coming to the older style of doing it, your litigation work, I suppose a lot of our listeners will relate that to the work of a barrister normally. Is that reasonably fair?
Yes. I mean, cases which go to court normally will involve a barrister. Some solicitors will do it themselves, but all the way, but usually, yes.
I mean, do you specialise in company law, or do you do anything?
in terms of what I personally do, I mean, it's mainly what I describe as business disputes, but property disputes as well, as well as you know, personal disputes. But I mean, the contract disputes, property work, and landlord and tenant. Is what I do, and the emphasis has changed slightly, it's fair to say, during the recession. There's a lot more, I suppose, but crudely, what you call insolvency-related work. But, you know, your practice evolves. And practice evolves in all sorts of strange and unexpected ways. For instance, under the there are new niches which you have to spot and become specialist in all the time, and One that's sort of off the wall is Village Greens, for instance, which has become a great thing that town and villages are coming together, trying to stop development. And that's an example of a piece of legislation which has created, not intended, I don't think, but a lot of litigation.
Right.
And it's fertile work.
Coming back to kind of more traditional business type things, do you see any patterns in the type of things that go to court? Is there a type of dispute that you think, oh no, not another one of those kind of thing?
Well, I mentioned boundary disputes earlier. I don't necessarily see a pattern. You can call litigation or dispute resolution all it's glorified debt collection in a sense. It's all about money. But, these days people don't or businesses don't have the spare cash to litigate disputes, and that's really where mediation comes in.
Right.
But I wouldn't say actually, Paul, I see any particular, if you like, cultural issue or type of dispute. Right. What I would say is if you've got a family situation, so a business involving a family, they're exceptionally difficult to deal with and exceptionally difficult to settle because there's a lot of pride at stake and it's not something which people can park. Yeah. Compartmentalise in an easy way.
No, absolutely. I've in all kinds of areas, family businesses have lots of opportunities in them. Yeah. I was just wondering if there were any particular, especially with SMEs, whether there were any mistakes that people keep repeatedly making that either end up with them getting into court or intermediation.
The one great mistake is people not tidying up the contracts properly. Basically, you've just got to make sure that you're trading properly on your own terms and conditions of business, and that is the biggest single thing. If you're running a business, make sure you're contracting properly. The second thing, really, I suppose, leading on from that, is if you ever think as a business you're getting into a spot of bother, just don't get in too deep. And I'd say to anyone, take advice early to try and avoid a dispute in the first place.
Absolutely. I want to do a general purpose and a specific advert for this. I've been in business for myself 25 years, and I think like a lot of business people that start out, you're very wary about engaging lawyers and stuff like that. You think, well, blimey, it's a money pit. It's going to cost me a fortune. I don't really need this. I know who I'm dealing with. And if they don't cough up, I'll go around there and sort them out with a baseball bat.
I quite understand that.
But then you do learn eventually that the reason that these things are the way they are is because there's a benefit to it. And engaging proper legal advice, even though it may be expensive as an hourly rate or something, at the end of the day, it can save you an awful lot of
money. Well, in the long term, isn't it? It's about, because the difficulty is if you get too deep, your whole business is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Whereas if you at least get some guidance at an early stage, you've at least got options available to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, yeah. I've recently been involved in, not litigation, it was, I won't go into the details of it, but I was doing a business-related deal, which Whitehead Monckton acted for me.
Terrific.
And did a superb job. And but the other side chose not to have a lawyer. And it was really a pain in the backside because, you end up having to almost do their side for them and go, no, you really do need to think about this before you sign that. I wouldn't sign that if I were you. I'd go and ask someone first. And they go, no, it's all right. And you go, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
Well, I would. I don't think I could put this strongly enough, Paul, but if your opponent is represented by a lawyer, then you certainly need to be.
Yeah,
and also you were in that case.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'll get tied up in knots.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just make mistakes, don't you?
It's not just that. The problem is you don't necessarily realise the mistake until quite a long time later when you suddenly realise, actually, I can't get out of this.
Absolutely.
And, absolutely right. Cool. Well, I'm glad we provided a good service.
No, you did. Very good. I highly recommend it. Yeah, no, I have no problem with that at all.
So, Chris, if someone wants to come and see you for some advice at a small SME, what's your starting? Do they get half hour free or anything, or is it straight in and the bill?
Discounted legal services. Jules.
Some have surgeries. Mr. Pocock in Whitstable has a surgery every now and then.
Oh, does he?
It's completely informal, really, because I wouldn't say we have a formal half hour free as such, but if somebody says they just want to come and see me and have a chat, I won't necessarily charge them anything for that. Mm. And
you see, Paul Andrews?
Sorry?
You see? A bargain.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's no good telling me. I've used them. I've paid their fees as well.
No, you always have to see where things go. And, you know, often it's the case that you just can't do it within half an hour or something like that.
Of course, yeah.
But, no, I mean, the clock doesn't tick from minute one.
No. No, I mean, I've always found with not just present company, but other law firms that I've dealt with over the years, you know, I mean, people are always reasonable to start with. You know, you go and meet someone, you tell them what you want, first of all.
Yeah,
because, they, you know, they'll go, oh, well, I'm the wrong person. You need to speak to our X specialist or Y specialist. Mm. And that's normally when things start to go.
I wish my divorce lawyer had done that.
What, you need to speak to somebody else?
Yeah, he told me he was really good.
And was he not?
No, he was terrible. He sort of collapsed.
We shouldn't have married him then, Jules. Oh, no.
he kept getting hysterical and stirring the whole thing up completely and just costing more money. And then when I went to the court, didn't turn up because he was ill and I had to do it all on my own.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, the one thing lawyers have to try and do is try and stay independent and not get too personally involved. And I think family is a classic area where that can happen.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very emotional stuff,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. We could talk for hours about this, but we're almost at the end of the show now. We've almost run out of time. Hour and a half's gone really quickly. For the moment, Chris Longdon from Whitehead Monkton, thank you so much
Absolute
for joining
pleasure.
Us.
Thanks so much.
Brilliant.
And you know, Paul, the best congratulations for these two guests, Johnny and Chris, is that they've both dressed in the Channel Radio colours.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? Yeah.
Amazing.
Good stuff. And underpants, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Not just
Johnny was showing us earlier.
Not just thrown together. Was that when he was telling us about his tube story?
Yeah, absolutely. Should we mention that? No, we won't. No. We haven't got time to go into it.
He's going to help me with some social networking. Yeah.
Listen, we've only got 5 minutes or so left, and I've got a gazillion tweets. And I've got loads of emails and we've got loads of press releases. I'm going to get my Twitter sorted out. You read another press release.
Creative Kent tweet up. This is Thursday the 21st of March. You may have heard of Paul Andrews. He's the chairman of Creative Kent. And he would like to invite you to the first Creative Kent gathering on Thursday the 21st of March from 6 to 9 p.m. upstairs at the Spitfire on Kings Hill. Where's Kings Hill?
Westmorling.
Westmorling.
West where?
Morling.
Thank you.
Or Marling.
Jules is the only Kent dweller that was still calling it West Marling.
Yeah, West Marling. It's because I'm from London. But you've taught me. The Creative Kent tweet-up event will be a relaxed get-together to share ideas and get to know each other. And they'll hold one every month and they need a location suggestion for the next one. You can have one at my house if you want, Mr. Andrews. Seafront.
Really? At Tankston?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be there.
You can also win two tickets to this year's South East Air Show, which is taking place on the 22nd of June at Manston Airport, just by turning up. So Elaine of Creative Kent says, welcome to everyone. That's Thursday the 21st of March. Is that this Thursday?
That is this Thursday. That's the day after tomorrow.
At Kings Hill in the Spitfire, upstairs at 6 p.m. in West Marling.
Morning.
Or if you fancy getting mauled, it could be.
It's in West Morning. Come along. We'll all be there. There's a good turnout already. I was looking at the numbers earlier. We got a load of people coming, so come along.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
Ken Lloyd's a member, I believe.
Yeah, he is actually, yes. But you don't have to be a member to come to this one. It's open to anyone. And funnily enough, I've had a tweet from Kevin Edmonds of DMS Graphics. Hi, Paul. DMS Graphics would like a shout out. We're going to be at Kent 2020 on the 25th of April. And we're also coming to the Kent Creative Tweet Up
Johnny
this Thursday.
Johnny Jensen's favourite place.
Yeah. They're also coming to the tweet up at the Spitfire, they say, on Thursday.
Oh, are they not coming to the Hotel Continental one in the morning at 10 a.m? The Whitstable tweet up?
He hasn't mentioned it.
How? Quelle horreur. Crash, bang, wallop and back to business. These are testing times for the best of us, but local entrepreneur Rebecca Nutt deserves special recognition for triumph over adversity.
Yeah.
Her salon in Swalecliffe, Serenity Health and Beauty, was a scene of devastation. Chris, you'll need to know about this. Earlier this month, when a car ploughed into the front of the building, smashing glass, brickwork and the reception area, even the nail varnish bottles had exploded.
Even the nail polish?
Jessica, darling, it's Jessica.
Show us your nails, Jules.
Yeah, Jessica.
Uh-oh.
boarded up but not shut up, Serenity reopened for business as usual within 2 weeks, bringing clients in through a side entrance and changing rooms around to provide the treatments booked, as well as providing a few home visits and transferring some clients to her Castle Street, Canterbury salon, Serenity within Stephen James Hair. The damage will cost thousands of pounds, Chris, to put right, but for clients who booked massages, facials and waxing, Serenity was maintained. Good on you, Rebecca. So Serenity Health and Beauty is open, up and running at St John's Road, Swalecliffe, just off the Thanet Way. And Chris, I'll tell you, the driver was allegedly drunk and uninsured.
Business like that is good.
Yeah. Would you like to offer her some free advice? Half hour. She's very attractive.
Yes, certainly. Let me think what advice I can give her. I mean, I think the nail varnish bottles, I think what we're going to do is source some new ones.
Yeah, and that's
I'm not quite sure where we're going to get them from, but I'm sure we'll find a place, and that's not legal advice at all.
Brilliant.
Cool. You'll get a bill, Serenity, for that.
Well, I mean,
she was amazing.
Fair play to Becca for getting back on track. I mean, it's horrible when something like that happens, but that's why we have insurance ourselves, and I know it's a nuisance that you have to claim against your own insurance, but that's the whole point of having it. It's just like the conversation we were having with Chris just now. You know, up front, you think, oh, do I really want to pay legal fees? Do I really want to pay insurance? Do I really want this? You really, really, really are pleased you did when you need it. And that's all you can say about it, really. But fair play to Rebecca.
You know that he ploughed straight through into the reception. So literally like a car driving into our studio here.
I know him.
Through
like
the...
they plough the nail varnish and scatter or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's your
version. She got it on video. Yeah. She could use it as a YouTube.
Yeah,
absolutely. Viral.
She's got plenty of pictures, but I don't think she was camped out there at midnight videoing.
But she's not got CCTV or anything.
Yeah, perfect CCTV.
Yeah. Need some footage of it.
Yeah.
Cool. Look, we got loads and loads of tweets, and I want to cover some of these because they're really important. Wendy Kelp from Pilgrim's Hospice.
Hello, Wendy.
They have a pop-up tweet-up.
Yes.
That's easy for them to say, isn't it?
Organised by Ken Lloyd and myself.
Yeah, apparently. A pop-up tweet-up on the 11th of April, 5 to 7pm at their new centre, which is where, Jules?
It's in Canterbury, Pilgrim's Hospice. It's the Anne Robertson Centre, I believe.
Yes, the new Anne Robinson Centre.
Yes,
yeah, okay. Have you been there yet?
No, Ken Lloyd did it for me.
Oh, did he?
I was drinking Prosecco at the time.
Oh, right,
probably.
Okay. Breakfast, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Early one.
Yeah. Okay, so that is on the 11th of April. It's a pop-up tweet-up at the Anne Robinson Centre in Canterbury on behalf of Pilgrim's Hospice. Kevin Hadlow has been on.
Hello, Kevin. I thought he was in Edinburgh or somewhere.
He said, I'm listening to the Business Bunker on a coach on the way to the airport.
He's
going to Edinburgh.
Yeah, told you he's going to Edinburgh.
Thank you for that, Kevin.
I wonder if he should go from Manston.
I don't know which airport he's going to. He didn't say in his tweet. He just said, I'm on a coach going to the airport.
Yeah, probably.
I may well be.
I've got to know more about the decision to get a coach to Edinburgh from Ken.
I hope they've got toilets on there, Kevin.
I've had a tweet from Peter Wood as well. You'll love this, Chris. Talking about your bit here. Peter is known on Twitter as 99 Hawkeye. And I happen to know that what... Don't worry about the speaker. I happen to know what Peter does. He flies helicopters and takes pictures of things.
Oh, yes.
And houses and stuff like that. And does helicopter-based surveying and all that kind of stuff. And he's just saying, I love boundary disputes.
Actually, he may have been a gentleman who knocked at our door and sold us an overhead picture of our house.
It could well have been.
It was a very good one too.
Yeah. Yes.
Could have sued him for nuisance, I suppose.
He was saying, I love boundary sports. That's where I might be able to help with the litigation team, because he can fly over and look at things and stuff like that. So, thank you for that, Peter. If we need your helicopter, we'll let you know. I wonder if he's listening to the show in the helicopter at the moment. Are you up in the air at the moment, Peter? You let us know. Whitstable Stove Shop are asking how we like their new profile picture. We'll have a look after the show.
We'll have a look after the show.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, right. Are we making it up? Are we blagging it as we go along? Yeah, it's lovely, Mark. Thank you. We'll look at it after the show. And Greenleaf Ergonomics are listening in as well.
That's Jan Mulligan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we sitting properly, Paul? Oh, you know what she's like.
Straight, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She'll come and tell
posture,
us off.
Posture,
yeah.
Posture.
Quick couple of other PR releases, because we're really, really running out of time very quickly now. The Tool one, the absolutely gorgeous Janis Watton, has a Brownies Breakfast Business Networking event at the Abbott Spartan Hotel Canterbury on Thursday the 28th of March. It's not a breakfast, it's a lunch. Sorry, it's a business networking lunch.
You can have breakfast lunch. And stay for lunch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't mind spending the day with Janis.
No.
Thursday the 28th of March, 12 PM to 2:30 PM, £15 a person. If you want to book that, you can email events@castlewoodhotels.com. And I've also got a little bit of news on the Kent karting circuit that helped Lewis Hamilton and Jenson Button become world champions. And they're in pole position with a £300,000 investment in new cars and some ambitious growth plans. Did you know that Butmore Park kart circuit near Chatham has added 65 new cars to its fleet, and its new owner, John Surtees. Did you know John owned the
No, I didn't.
Is the former, I think he's still the only man that was the world motor racing and world motorcycle champion. I don't think anybody else has done it, and John now owns Butmore Park, and he's bought the freehold to a further 90 acres of ground to develop the track even further.
Excellent.
The circuit is gearing up to celebrate its 50th anniversary this year, and already attracts around 100,000 visitors a year. Everybody that's been anybody in motor racing knows Butmore Park. Bill Sisley, who runs it, is an absolute legend, and some mates of mine that went on to big things in motor racing cut their teeth at Butmore Park.
Yeah, I can't.
Johnny Herbert. Yeah.
Johnny Jensen karted there as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I hope someone at Butmore does something with the facilities that they're just lying redundant there. It's a crying shame what happened to that space.
Well, it sounds like they're doing something, because he's put £300,000 into it. Let's hope he's moving on.
There's a massive, massive centre that's just redundant.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's quite shocking.
Cool. Anyway, we've reached the end of our show, I'm afraid. We've got basically seconds left. It's just a big thank you to Johnny Jensen of Live and Social, Chris Longdon of Whitehead Monkton,